the Agile brand.
Welcome to Season 6 of The Agile Brand, where we discuss marketing technology and customer experience trends, insights, and ideas with enterprise and technology platform leaders. We focus on the people, processes, data, and platforms that make brands successful, scalable, customer-focused, and sustainable. This is what makes an Agile brand. I'm your host, Greg Kilstrom, advising Fortune 1000 brands on MarTech, marketing operations, and CX, best-selling author and speaker. The Agile Brand Podcast is brought to you by Tech Systems, an industry leader in full-stack technology services, talent services, and real-world application. For more information, go to teksystems.com. Before we get started, I wanted to let you know that my latest book, Priority is Action, 7 Principles for Better Strategies, Decisions, and Outcomes, is now available. In it, I give ideas and insights for leaders and teams that need to make meaningful progress on their priorities. After all, our priorities are what we do, not what we say we'd like to do. You can find Priority is Action on Amazon or learn more on my website, gregkilstrom.com. Now let's get on to the show. As we talk about a lot on this show, organizations are investing in AI technologies more than ever and integrating them into existing systems to train sales and revenue teams to help their connections with audiences. However, despite its advancements, significant missed opportunities exist in maximizing AI's potential. Today, we're going to talk about missed opportunities for AI in the customer experience and what brands can do to embrace and benefit from them. To help me discuss this topic, I'd like to welcome Tony Grout, Chief Product and Technology Officer at Showpad, a sales enablement platform. Tony, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for having me on, Greg. It's a privilege.
Yeah, looking forward to talking about this topic with you. Why don't we get started with you giving a little background on yourself and your role at Showpad, as well as for those that maybe aren't familiar with the platform already, a little bit about what Showpad does.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Greg. Yeah, so a whirlwind tour. I've been in the industry a while now, so I've had a pretty exciting journey through places like Miro, that most of us know from our whiteboarding experience, Alfresco for content management, Atlassian, Skype, Microsoft, and IBM. And I founded my own company many years ago doing ePods. So I've seen many things, and I've also had to sell a few of those during some of those cycles myself. So I'm very familiar with how hard it can be to be on the sales side, which is where Showpad actually kicks in. So Showpad, where I am today, we have something we call the EOS, or the Enablement Operating System, that kind of brings marketing and salespeople together. If any of you have worked in those organizations, you'd know that the connective tissue between some of those organizations is pretty challenging. So what we do is make sure that the marketing teams can create the right content, and they can also put it in the hands of the sales teams at the right moment to drive the best revenue engagement with their buying teams. So we have a pretty impressive platform. We've got headquarters in Chicago and Ghent, which is in Belgium, for those of you who haven't come across Ghent before. And there's around 500 strong of us in Showpad at the moment. So it's a pretty big product. It does everything from sharing content between sales and marketing teams to training and enabling sellers to do the right things at the right time with their buyers. So yeah, it's a really interesting space to be in right now.
That's great. Well, yeah, thanks for that intro. I'm very familiar with several of the other platforms you mentioned as well. Huge fan of Miro, for what it's worth. That's an unpaid endorsement, by the way, but just a huge fan. looking forward to talking about this with you. So, you know, as I mentioned in the intro, you know, today we're going to talk about some of the missed opportunities with AI and CX. And I'd like to start with content process automation. That's certainly something that I deal with a lot in my consulting work. So first, can you define what is meant by content process automation for those who may not be as familiar with the term and the concept?
Yeah, so I mean, there's manual content process automation, but I want to really focus today based on the conversation we're having about AI and customer experience with where AI fits in content process automation. So content process automation is enhancing the way content moves through your organization from creation through to management and distribution in an automated way to allow teams to focus more on the strategic and creative priorities they have to deal with, instead of manually moving documents and content and assets and images around the organization manually. So it's that automation of the flow of work aligned with your business processes.
Got it. And so, you know, what are some ways that AI can be beneficial here? And how does that differ from how things may currently be done?
So, I mean, it's interesting. The spectrum moves from the current ways of working, which is people just literally still emailing files around to one another.
Right.
So there's still a lot of us still doing that. I think the likes of Box and Dropbox and others have sort of taken that a little bit further. But if we think about automating, if you take that next step on, you'll see like there's tools like SharePoint and others doing general document management to try and route documents to the right person in a workflow. But really where AI can start to make a difference there is instead of like manually drawing to create these like workflows in low code tools that mean you have to understand a little bit of like task management and a little bit of coding and scripting, AI really is now starting to be able to automatically just learn what you're doing from you manually doing it for the first time, and then it can automatically start routing that information to the right people at the right time by learning how you're doing it. Or you can also have an administrator teach it for the first time the right ways of scheduling and publishing this content. And again, the AI will then automate some of those processes for you. So yeah. That's what we're seeing happen now.
Yeah. And so, you know, since you're talking about sales and marketing, I mean, those are, you know, just to be a stereotype perhaps, but, you know, there's traditionally sometimes some disconnects, right, between the marketing teams and the sales teams. So, you know, I would imagine to automate some of that is really to make sure that, yeah, not only does stuff not get lost in email, but also just that, you know, people are busy. It's not necessarily through lack of intent or good intentions or whatever. It's just, you know, sales teams get busy, marketing teams get busy, and so there's disconnects. I mean, would you say it kind of makes up for some of those gaps as well?
Indeed. I mean, a really common example that we come across day in, day out with some of our customers is, as you say, Greg, like salespeople are so busy all the time. They don't necessarily realize that, for example, there's a new product they could be putting in front of a customer who's got a particular challenge. They don't necessarily realize there's been price changes on the price book that's come out recently. They're swamped with information from many different angles. And so the ability to have the AI understand like what context their deal is in at a particular time that they're talking to a customer and helping them identify that there's a new product that they could put in front of the customer at the right time, that and here's the product brochure to share with that customer at the right time as they're going through their conversation or even going through their email inbox, is just something we see just being able to be done by AI now. We're already doing some of that today where marketers can just publish the content into ShowPad or tools like ours, and it will automatically start to be able to link that campaign to the right seller in the right part of their sales process. So yeah, the AI is sort of stepping in there.
Well, and that kind of leads to the next topic I wanted to talk about, which is, you know, hyper-personalization at scale, which, you know, definitely that's a huge opportunity for AI and CX, and kind of speaks to what you were just talking about. And, you know, to acknowledge that, you know, personalization, you know, we've been talking about it for, I feel like forever, but, you know, at least a decade or more, we've been talking about the promise of personalization, and certainly there's stats around its effectiveness. But to really do it, to do it in the enterprise, to do it at scale, and to make it, you know, not even one-to-one, but, you know, highly personalized, takes resources, takes scale, takes, you know, human teams, you know, prior to AI doing it. So, you know, receiving personalized content offers experiences, you know, definitely can be beneficial to customers, but to actually do it well, it, you know, puts a huge strain. So, you know, can you talk about, you know, some of the roadblocks that organizations have to doing more personalization without the help of something like AI?
Yeah, so I think that's really interesting. So what we see a lot of previously and still going on in a lot of organizations is they're just using like scripts that are just punched out and they just put somebody's name on, and there's a lot of automation around just almost like mail merge type automation, which is just horrible when it turns up. And I don't know about you, but I tend to just delete. I've got something that can just delete a lot of that out of my inbox. So our inboxes are also getting smarter at just being able to get rid of that. So I certainly think we see a lot of challenges in just like, and also sellers, again, they're time poor, trying to find all the intelligence that's going on there about all their customers so they can personalize it to add more value than just a chatbot turning up on a website or the customer themselves going to the website. Because I think one of the things we're seeing more and more on the sales side of organizations is buyers are, you know, spending 70% of their time not talking to salespeople because they don't perceive they add any value.
Yeah.
And that's because they're not personalizing that conversation to the actual challenges that that buyer has. So I think that's one of the things we're seeing is that sellers don't feel like they've got the time, but then buyers aren't showing up. So I think we need AI to help, but it is to help do a whole bunch of things in that area to help.
So, you know, from a data analysis standpoint, let's talk about that a little bit. You know, what are the opportunities with AI there versus, you know, what's currently being done to kind of address some of those issues that you just mentioned?
So it's interesting. I mean, if I back a little bit to, I was listening to, I think you did an episode with Toby Barlow. He was talking about the creative work with AI. Definitely worth, that's definitely, I really enjoyed that because I think a lot of the challenges he was describing, because a lot of the things about selling and marketing is creative.
Yeah.
But to be creative, you've got to have the data back to that personalization. You've got to be creative in the context of the buyer's journey. And so what we start to see is like, you have to have, like Showpad, we've spent a really long time now building out a revenue data lake that actually is consuming a lot of intelligence from the activities that buyers are taking in the buying cycle, and also starting to listen into like the social aspects of where buyers are going. That's the other thing we'll be doing more of, to bring more intelligence into the product so that when we help buyers, when we help guide both sellers and buyers, we've got more intelligence to do that in smarter ways. So things like, for example, when a buyer's looking at a particular product and they look at a collection of different products on a website, rather than just guessing what that buyer wants to talk to you about, we can actually start to instrument that and surface up the best products that we believe based on what the buyer's looking at that will surface their market using AI. So there's a lot we'll be doing in that space using the data underneath that. So I think right now, tracking as much data as we possibly can in the product in a sensitive way. I mean, that's the other thing that I'm really thoughtful about is we, based in Europe as a company, we have a really strong view about how AI and data come together and the being strong guardians of that data in very secure ways for both our customers and the buyers of the that buy from our customers. Because I think that's the other thing that we don't talk about enough with AI, especially in this day and age, is the security of that data and where it's going.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think it's still in early stages really everywhere, but I know Europe's kind of certainly led the charge on GDPR and consumer data privacy. So it appears kind of leading the way in AI regulations as well. And and similarly, US is a little slower to follow, but eventually we'll catch up. But yeah, you know, so I mean, how does all of that factor into, so, you know, I think you touched on this as well already, but you know, it's not enough to just collect the data. Obviously, it's not enough to even just analyze the data and have good questions to ask or answers to questions. It's like, there's got to be that component of delivery, but delivery's got to also take into account, you know, the ethics and regulations and everything like that. So, you know, how do you kind of factor all those things into, you know, ultimately it's about delivering a better customer experience, right?
Indeed. I think there's some really interesting things going on now that that we are deeply involved in. We've shipped a bunch of AI capabilities in Showpad, and we've done that. First of all, whenever we ship things, one of the things we have as a company is, as we think about how AI surfaces in our product, we want to be really explicit where AI is doing the work. So for example, in our user experience, we have very clear signs and symbols to the user that something is being generated through AI. Because one of the things we've got to build with AI is we've got to build trust that you know when it's computer generated and versus when a human being has done it. Because right now we still have hallucinations happening in these AI capabilities, where the AI looks like it's really knowledgeable, but it's still not necessarily giving us the right answer. So as a human, you really want to know when that's happening.
Yeah.
And that's part of the way we just build the product. But I do think there's there's a whole capability that we want to put humans back in that loop. So one of the ways we think about AI is, and I think this is where Toby was going with some of the things he was describing, which is this idea of, you know, it's the soup's pies, you know, it's the broth part of a soup, which is where the AI really right now where we are is we need humans in the loop still. And I don't think, I certainly wouldn't advise any company today just to trust AI to on its own to without some level of training on it and a lot of guardrails into their how they ship AI in their products, to not have humans in the loop at the most critical times of their most critical interactions still. Because yeah. I still don't believe we've got enough guardrails inside the technology for it to not sometimes come up with unhelpful and sometimes, you know, inappropriate responses in the most critical moments of conversations with your customers. So again, yeah. We put a lot of thought into making sure that the people using the products and AI can intervene at the appropriate moments just to make sure they're okay with what's happening. Yeah. So I think there's a journey there.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I'm glad you touched on, you know, the transparency, explainability, like all those things are huge, yes. huge factors. And, you know, to know that a product is being built with those in mind. I mean, you know, we've read the case studies, sort of the warning case studies of when yeah. that wasn't the factor. Yes. And things like that. So, you know, good to know that that's being built in. And certainly, you know, for those in the enterprise listening out there, you know, that's the one of the deal breakers, right, is to not have a transparent or explainable approach. Is it's probably just never going to get past procurement, right? So
indeed.
Yeah. So last thing I wanted to touch on today is talking about the relationship between AI and emotional intelligence with customers. And so, you know, first I wanted to start with definitions again here. And, you know, how exactly would you define emotional intelligence in this context? And, you know, how can things like sentiment analysis, emotion recognition, and other things help to improve the customer experience from that end customer's viewpoint?
Yeah, I think in the context of AI, I think emotional intelligence refers to that ability to recognize the customer emotion in our space. So when the customer turns up, it's getting their sentiment through, because a lot of the interactions may not be in real time. I mean, when they're in real time, it's also sometimes useful to have a double check about what the customer's emotions are. But certainly when it's not in real time, when you're managing emails coming in, which is a lot of people are managing emails still in inboxes, it's like understanding that sentiment, understanding that customer emotion when they come in, so that you can prioritize and use AI, and AI is getting increasingly good at understanding where that customer's emotions are in that, like, are they frustrated, irritated, annoyed, happy? Are they questioning something in more detail, so that you know as a salesperson what to prioritize? I think one of the challenges all of us struggle with in any job is just, what do we do when we walk in the morning first to have the biggest impact? And so understanding which of your customers are most frustrated or most giving the strongest buying signals, so you can think about how to prioritize your day based on their emotional reactions in their emails or in their voicemail messages or in their video messages that they're leaving, or even in their video interactions, allows you to be able to have guidance through the AI to tell you where to spend your time most effectively. And I think that's one of the things we can do a lot with. And then the other thing is just giving you the ability to respond effectively with guidance about how to respond to somebody who's having that certain emotional response. So if they're angry, how do you bring your brand tone of voice, your tone of voice, and the tone of voice that's going to meet that customer's emotional needs to get them to trust you during that buying cycle, all lined up together at the same time to get the best outcome for both? And I think that's where we see emotional intelligence coming in.
Well, and this to me ties to that critical relationship between, you know, the end customer experience and, you know, we can call it either employee experience or maybe internal customer experience, right? Those, the relationship there, you know, being given the tools that are going to help you do a better job as a salesperson, as, you know, someone tasked with communicating with customers. I mean, it's a no-brainer, right? But it also, I mean, I think it has an effect on a positive effect on those internal customers or those employees, right? So, you know, how do you look at AI, you know, improving essentially the employee experience?
There's a couple of ways I see this right now. One is, I think when I hear a lot of people talk about AI, I think we're still in the mindset of how does it make my life 10% better by taking away the ability to I don't have to write the start of this letter, it'll do it for me, for example, as a draft. And I think that's, yes, of course, that's happening today. I think what I'm more interested in, I think going beyond that, I think we need to think about how do we 10x everybody's capability in the role they're doing, so they're doing the things they are really, really focused on and powerful doing as a human that we can take away in terms of automation. Let me give you an example of one of those things. So most salespeople would love to, back to your personalization question earlier, Greg, it's like most salespeople would love to be able to personalize content. But the other thing they'd love to be able to do is work out, given a particular marketing campaign and that person's information, how can I A/B test against my account, which particular message is going to work in which particular way? But I've got 100 accounts. So why not automate the ability to do like true account-based marketing with personalization, where I can generate 100 different instances of that particular collateral. I can push it out into my base, and I can get feedback back about which one generated the most traction by which one opened, caused the most opens. And I can bring that back. Marketing learn more, I learn more, and therefore the AI can also learn more about what's happening to help me next time to generate even better content. And I think it's that 10x and feedback loops that's going to really make a difference to the employee so that they don't spend time on less helpful things.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Well, Tony, thanks so much for joining the show. One last question before we wrap up here. You've given a lot of great insights and advice already, but what's one next best action that you'd recommend for those listening who, there's a lot of directions you can go with AI, you know, might already be started on some of them, but, you know, for those who want to identify and maybe prioritize some areas where AI can improve their customer experience, what do you recommend?
Well, first of all, Greg, thanks for having me on today. It's been a delight, and I really enjoyed the conversation and questions. Yeah, so I think it's important to start is if you start to look at the right technology, like upskilling your teams on where AI will make a difference and where they can use it. For going back to that personalization thing, I mean AI and upskilling your teams on bringing personalization into their interactions with their customers, I think is going to be really important. Putting KPIs, key performance indicators, around measuring how much adoption you're getting in your org of that upskilling capability on AI. I think many people in a lot of organizations are still trying to struggle their way through things. So I think having an education program and upskilling and tracking who's applying that is going to be really key as we go forward. So yeah, I'd definitely make sure you've got a proper learning program in your org and the KPIs to track it.
That's great. Love it. Well, again, I'd like to thank Tony Grout, Chief Product and Technology Officer at Showpad, for joining the show. You can learn more about Tony and Showpad by following the links in the show notes.
Thanks again for listening to The Agile Brand, brought to you by Tech Systems. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to subscribe and leave us a rating so that others can find the show more easily. You can access more episodes of the show at www.gregkilstrom.com. That's GregKilstrom.com. While you're there, check out my series of best-selling Agile Brand Guides, covering a wide variety of marketing technology topics, or you can search for Greg Kilstrom on Amazon. The Agile Brand is produced by Missing Link, a Latina-owned, strategy-driven, creatively-fueled production co-op. From ideation to creation, they craft human connections through intelligent, engaging, and informative content. Until next time, stay agile.
The Agile Brand.